Amen. Who's ready for the word of God? Yes, come on. I love it. Anyone been watching the Olympics over the last couple of weeks, coming to an end, I think, tomorrow morning, and thinking, oh, if only I was in Paris right now. Anyone thinking that? Probably no. Europe's pretty nice, so I'm getting memories up on my phone of just over a year ago when we were in doing a cruise, I know, in the Mediterranean, and we actually booked this in 2020 because it was our 25th wedding anniversary, and then everything got cancelled in 2020, as we know. So we rebooked it for last year, and we went on the Greek islands, and it was just amazing. But we went on the cruise, and who knows, when you book a cruise, that everything's all inclusive, it's all paid for, and it's just like, once you get on board, it's like, it's all covered, your food is covered, your drinks are covered, activities and entertainment, everything's covered. And so we get on there and we can enjoy that. Well, imagine if we get on board and we forgot that everything was all inclusive. We're just kind of like, oh, there's places we have to go and buy our coffee, we have to go and pay for our food, or we need to pay for all of our drinks because we forget. And then at the end, we get to the end and we're like, what? That was all covered? It was free? We like, it was paid for already, and we've just wasted all of that. Okay, just keep that thought in mind, because I feel like so much has been paid for in this life that Jesus has done for us. And it's all inclusive in the Christian life. And sometimes we forget that we have all access, that things are paid for, that we try and pay for them ourselves or go again, or just forget that we have access. So today I want to talk about Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Jehovah Jireh is our provider. It's one of the names of God. He has many. And it's just reminded me of this cruise. It's like, if you forget that it's all paid for, you don't access what you can access. We can access so much in God because it's all been paid for. We have, as Christians, we have access, of course, to forgiveness. He paid the price for us to feel clean and forgiven and saved and set free. He's paid. We have access to freedom and hope and peace and grace and strength and joy, wisdom, amazing. So in Genesis 22, verse 14, this is the first and only time that it actually refers to the name of God as being Jehovah Jireh. It says, "And Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide.' As it is said to this day, 'In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.'" In the King James Version, it says, "And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh." So let me tell you about this story of where Abraham was when he said these words, "This will be the place where it's called Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide." Who knows, Abraham is the father of faith. He believed many, many years that he would have his son Isaac as a child. He waited 25 years for that miracle. He was a patient man, full of faith. And then it came to Genesis 22, the beginning of that chapter. I just want to read through it just quickly to give you the context of this, because it's not just, it could be called Jehovah Jireh, our provider. It would be amazing. No, let's read through just quickly. In verse 1, it says, "Came to pass after all these things, God tested Abraham," as if he hadn't been tested enough, I think, "and said to him, 'Abraham,' he said, 'Yes, here I am.' He says, 'Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering.'" His son that he waited 25 years for. Can you feel the pain? I mean, sometimes as a parent, you know, we're just like, okay. But largely, we're like, no, God, please don't. "Offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, I tell you." Goes on down to say, okay, so Abraham did what God asked him to do. He started on the track to Mount Moriah. He took Isaac, he took the wood, he took the rope that he was going to, you know, wrap him up and put him on the altar with. Horrible story, but it goes on in verse 7. It said, "Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, 'Father,'" he said, "'Yes, son.' I said, 'Look, Dad, the fire, the wood is here. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering?'" He didn't understand fully, but he's saying something is missing here. "Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.' So the two of them went together. Abraham was confident in that moment. He was willing to be obedient, but he was confident God is going to provide. They came to the place which God told him. I'm just going to quickly go through it. Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. Then God said, "Don't, I'm here." Verse 12, he says, "Don't lay your hand on the lad, for now I know that you fear God." Verse 13, Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its thorns. Miraculous provision right there. Rams aren't even up on the mountain of Moriah. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And then Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided." That gives some gravity to that situation, doesn't it? To that story of God being our provider. I don't know what situation that you're facing in your life. Are you at that place where you need a miracle to come in the form of a ram, just to come out of thin air? God will provide. There is so many situations. For God to provide, there has to be need. We have to have need. So we can't live this place of just unlimited plenty, because we wouldn't see the provision of the Lord in the way that he wants to provide for us. Let's talk about Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Three things I want to talk about with his name is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Maybe you sung it as a kid, one of those songs, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Okay, number one, it's God's nature to provide for us. It's in his nature, because he's a loving God. I don't know if you believe that today, or if you've seen evidence in your life of that, or maybe there's things that make you question that. But I want to tell you here today, he's a loving father. He loves his children. That's everyone in this place. You're his son or you're his daughter. And he loves you with a deep love, an unconditional love that only the Father God can love. He says, "I have come that they may have life and life in abundance." That's what he wants for us. Life in abundance. In Matthew 7 verse 9, it says, "If your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone? If they ask for fish, do you give them a snake?" Verse 11, so if you sinful people, that's us, okay, we're the sinful people, know how to give good gifts to your children, okay, who's a parent, ever given gifts to your children, right? That's like our nature. We want to give gifts to our children. But if we're sinful people, we know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? It's in his nature. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He's our shepherd. What do shepherds do? Watch over their flock, provide for them, guide them, direct them, give to them. I'm just giving you a whole bunch of scriptures here today that's just like, okay, I want you to understand the nature of God. Matthew 6, 26, it says, "Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or do anything, basically, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? He provides everything for the birds of the air. How much more so? What about he knows the number of hairs on our head? That's how intricately he knows us. What about his thoughts towards us are more numerous than the sand on the seashore? Come on, that's his nature. It's love. It's generosity. I have a thousand stories of provision, but one that really illustrates this point is when we were new senior ministers, the year 2000, we became the senior pastors of this church. We had little children, 2-year-old and a baby, and we were learning a lot of things, as some of you will remember. John had to do his first funeral, and one of the older men in our church had passed away, and he had to do a funeral, and it was a big deal. And I wanted to be there to support him. But I didn't have babysitters. I didn't want to take my 2-year-old and my baby to this funeral because, you know, they were wild, wild childs. I didn't want to, you know, detract from him doing this big deal. And I was like, God, all I want to do is go to the funeral and support my husband. Help me. I literally prayed this prayer and there was a knock on the door. I still get emotional. It was a beautiful lady in our church, Jenny Orton. She's still in our church. She says, God told me to come and ask you, do you need anything today? oh my gosh, it's his nature to love and provide.
I'm like, I want to go to a funeral.
And she's like, I'll come back and look after your boys this afternoon. It was just like, that's provision. It's provision. I'm not, like, provision is not just money, right? Yes, it is that, but it's so many more things. Because there's so much need in our lives. I needed a babysitter. He provided a babysitter. Oh, I was so grateful. Now, let me tell you, God doesn't have favorites. He doesn't look and go, oh, I'll give her a babysitter because she's a new pastor. No, he loves all his children equally. He loves every single one. And he, it's not like some are worthy and some aren't. He, that's his nature, to provide and love on his sons and his daughters. If you're forgiven, if you're in right relationship with him, you have access. And maybe you're here today and you don't have a personal relationship with God. And in every service, we give you opportunity, pray a prayer to be in relationship with him, because that's what we're all about, being in relationship with our Father in heaven. We'll give you an opportunity in this service to pray a prayer that makes us right with God. It's the most incredible thing. So that's the first thing. Believe that he wants to provide for you because it's his nature. Everyone say, it's his nature. It's his nature. Okay, the second one is, he is able. He is able. Do you believe today that he is able? 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8, it says, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. What a promise. Come on, right there, claim that. Maybe write that down in your notes as one to look up later and become your daily prayer. God is able, just to believe that he is able. He's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's ever-present. The Bible says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's just like so much. He's supernatural God. He can move mountains, he can part the Red Sea, he can raise bodies from the dead. He is able to provide for us no matter what our circumstances. There's a story in Kings, it's about Elijah, who was a prophet in the Old Testament. And he had predicted that there was going to be a drought for years over this country. And he told the king about it. And then God directed him to the brook Cherith. And in 1 Kings 17, verse 4, he'd said, God had told him to go to the brook Cherith. He said, drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I have commanded them to bring you food. In verse 6, it says, the ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. Now, I don't know if you know anything about ravens, but I've heard different things about them, done a little study on them. They are the most selfish creatures just about on the planet. They are scavengers. They will not look after anyone, not even their own young. They will abandon their young because they can't benefit them. They are the most selfish, horrible. Raven literally means to rob or plunder. What's what? Oh, what did you put up a funny photo there? Ravens will only carry out a task when they receive a reward for themselves. But God directed them to provide miraculously for Elijah because he told them to. He can make anything work in anyone's situation, in any circumstance, even though it totally looks like it's impossible. He would be out in the desert going, the ravens aren't going to bring me food. They don't bring anyone food. They brought him meat and bread every morning and evening, and he was satisfied. He was provided for. I love this story. It's not just for Bible characters. It's for us. His sons and his daughters. Philippians 4 verse 19, it says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Everybody say, supply all.
Supply all.
Supply all. Do you believe he is able? We all have need in different areas, and maybe it is in finances for you. Maybe you need a job. Maybe it's property. Maybe it's in your business or a contract. You have needs in those areas. Maybe you have need for forgiveness and freedom, love. Maybe you need courage to step out and do what you want to do in your heart, but you feel held back. Maybe you have need for a babysitter. Maybe you have a need for a baby or a partner. Let's take it back even one step further. God provides all. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Maybe you need staff in your business. I know for us here in church, we need leaders all the time to step up. We have ones coming and going, and God directs and leads, and we pray and ask, God, we have need. He always supplies. He always provides. He is able. It looks impossible in situations, but I want to tell you today, our God is able. He is able, no matter what your circumstance. So number one, it's his nature. He wants to provide because he loves. The second one is he is able. So what can we do to access that provision? Number three, our faith moves God. Our faith moves God. What we can do is build our faith up. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for in Hebrews, the chapter on faith. Hebrews 11 verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Another translation says faith is the assurance. You believe it, you know it, the evidence, the conviction. I'm convicted, I know. Hebrews 11, it goes on down to say in verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, God loves faith. He loves people that are faith-filled, a people who will continually feed their faith and build up their faith. Because faith, I don't know if you know, faith leaks. It's like a tank, a faith tank that we build up, and we go to conference a couple of weeks ago and we feel like, yes, come on, God is just breathing all over us. I feel the power of God. Nothing is too difficult. Everything's possible. And then over a little bit of time, if you're not feeding that faith and being convicted and growing that assurance and that evidence, faith has a little decline. And what does it look like? Discouragement. Oh, I don't know if he can. Oh, I don't know if he will. Oh, maybe it's not going to happen for me. Maybe it's other people, and our faith can start to wane. Maybe we have a few challenges, a few setbacks, and we get discouraged, and we just think, you know what, I don't know if I want to believe again because I don't want to be disappointed again. And our faith can take a dive. God loves faith. He loves it when we believe. You know, faith is not just a hopeful prayer. I'm really hoping, praying, believing, God, that you'll come through for me. It's a conviction. I know it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's not a matter of if it's going to happen. It's a matter of when it's going to happen. I'm strong. I'm full of faith. I've got a conviction on the inside. God is it. I've got it's not a scripture, but it's a saying. Faith is not believing that God can. It's knowing that he will. It's a knowing. You get that on the inside of you. You see, God doesn't give us everything that we ever ask for. There's a bigger picture. Sometimes we don't understand. A lot of times we don't understand that bigger picture. But it needs to align with his purpose and his will. Psalm says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Delighting ourselves in him makes sure our desires line up with his desires for us. And then he'll give you the desires of his heart because they line up with what he wants. If he gave us everything we asked for, it would be a mess. We don't even know sometimes what's best for us. I shared a story at conference a couple of weeks ago about a vending machine and chocolates in a vending machine. And for those who didn't hear it, I thought it was the best day of my life when the vending machine just popped out free chocolates without payment. It was a special day for me and the children. We just put in the code C4, pops down a Mars bar, you know, D6 pops down a Crunchy. It's just like, yes, this is awesome. It's given us what we want and we don't even have to pay for it until the voice of the Holy Spirit, aka my husband, says, it's not really integrity. It's not really the right thing to do to just take free chocolates from the vending machine. Thank you. the Holy Spirit awakened some integrity in me. It took me a little bit of slapping around and a bit of direct words. That's what I wanted. I thought it was amazing. It wasn't the right thing for me. It wasn't the right thing for us. We had to pay for those things. If God gave us everything like a vending machine, we would get this stuff that's not even good for us. It's not like, God, I just want this. I want that. Can you provide this, provide that? That's not faith. Faith is having a conviction of the desires that He's put in our heart for a partner, for a baby, for a business, for friends, for staff. He's put those desires in us so that we would come to Him and that we would fill ourselves with faith and we would get in revival prayer meetings so that we would build ourselves up on faith. We would declare the Word of God over our situation, say, my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches in glory. This is how you build faith up. You come to church, you hear faith-building messages, and you listen to them over and over, and it builds you. Get on the podcast, on replay, and go, oh, I need my faith built up so that I can have that assurance, so that I can have that conviction. This is what God has for us. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Oh, He's a good God. He is a good God. I want to remind you of that today. His nature is love. His nature is provision. His nature is generosity. And number two, He is able. He's able to supply all of your need. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter how impossible you think the situation, like He's a master of the impossible. He is able. And the third one is what we can do to position ourselves. And we'll pray in a moment just to build our faith up, because I know what it's like to be in a situation where you're like, oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe I'll stop believing for that dream because it looks like it's impossible. No, we need to feed our faith, to lift our faith, to know that we have access. We have access to Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Can I invite the worship team to come up right now? He's a provider of all of our needs. The step that we can take is to keep our faith high. Believe that He is a good God. Believe that He's able, and keep our faith high. That's the thing that we can do. Because you can come away from here and feel excited, encouraged, or full of hope again. But to stay in that place, you need to take steps to keep your faith high. That's what you listen to. That's how you speak. That's who you hang around. That's what your prayer life looks like. Hey, it's not easy to go to faith and declare and pray. You have to stir your spirit up. Speaking in tongues stirs your spirit up and gets your faith start to come alive. That's what the Holy Spirit helps us with. Spoke about that at conference time. He is our helper. And as you speak in tongues, things start to come alive. And maybe even today, things are coming alive in you. Some promises that He's given you, some words that He's given you in the past, maybe even prophetic words that He's just stirring in you. It's like, maybe that could come to pass. Maybe there's things that I need to go to faith on and start believing with Him again. Get that assurance, get that knowing. Oh, He's a good God. His name is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I mentioned before, if you're here and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I can't talk about Jehovah Jireh, our provider, without giving you opportunity.